Joe.
Hey, Joe. Welcome.
Let's go, Paul.
Fine seat.
Yeah.
You sit out there
until you're appointed, don't you?
Yeah.
You gotta earn that chair, Joe.
A few more minutes of freedom.
Gotta swear in.
That's right. You gotta swear to it. That's right.
She's all right.
She gets tired.
Karen, I didn't see the actual policy and procedure for the resolution on committees attached in the packet.
Should be in the packet, no?
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it.
Really?
I don't think so. I think only the resolution was.
Yeah.
I think the policy and procedure was
supposed to be attached to the resolution.
Attached.
That's not. I have to find it somewhere else.
So I couldn't review it.
Indeed.
It is not there. Okay. That's good enough. I will pull it up.
You could sit up here for another 12 minutes.
I was wondering how we're going to do that. You got enough for a quorum before you put them in, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, we do.
That's not attached to your resolution that you gave me, so it must be in the city administrator file, so
I can find it in here.
I have access to that file.
It's probably easier for me to find it.
I know. You could look at it here, though.
There you go.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. You get to start out in the audience and then move up after you swear in.
Move up in the world.
Help me when I'm speaking.
All right. Do you guys want me to print you copies of this, so since it's not in your packet?
Would be helpful.
It is 7 pages.
Agenda for new council training in Anchorage. It looks actually quite good.
At AML? So it's always
I hope
good.
Everybody, new people can go, and maybe others wanted to go too.
I do have enough budget for, I think we do have enough budget for the new council members to go. And I know Brittany's going to represent us on a panel.
Yeah, well, great. So I think it looks like it's going to be better training than we got last year by a bunch. Last year was kind of weak.
Yeah.
And, the speakers look knowledgeable.
Oh, yeah, the AML's training is really good.
Yeah, so it'll be a good opportunity.
October 7th, this is a special meeting of the Gustavus City Council. I call this meeting to order. Can we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Chandler?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Here.
Mayor Kastet?
Here.
5 members present and a quorum exists.
Okay. We don't have any minutes to approve. I have no agenda change requests. The only thing on the agenda today is swearing in of our new council members, Mr. Van Zandt and Mr. Clark. And we also have election of mayor and vice mayor. So if I can get unanimous consent to approve the agenda. Unanimous consent to approve the agenda. Okay, we're on. To public comment on non-agenda items. Is there anybody in the audience wish to offer public comment on non-agenda items? Does it look so? We're on to new business. Madam Clerk, will you administer the oath of office, please?
Okay. So if I could have Joseph Clark and Joe Vander Zanden and Shelley Owens stand up. And you raise your right arm or your whatever. And I'll ask each of you individually to say aye and then your name, and then the rest you can just repeat after me. And once we do that, I'll have you sign, and then I'll sign, and then you can take your seat at the dais. And we'll start with Joseph.
I, Joseph Clark.
And
Joe, work better.
Do you like Joe? Okay, I wasn't sure.
Hi, Joseph Anderson.
Hi, Shelby Warren.
Okay, do solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Alaska. And the ordinances of the City of Gustavus, Alaska. And that I will honestly.
Faithfully and impartially perform the duties of the office.
You'll make a motion to accept. Right here.
Well, wait a minute, Noah. I want to turn the gavel over to you for this. I don't think I should preside over the election, man.
We have to.
I do.
Somebody needs to make a motion.
Okay. I can do that?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Straightforward process.
Okay. All right. I'm not used to doing it that way. Okay, we're on to we're done with the swearing in of the council members and signing men. Welcome, Joe and Shelly Jack. So with that, we're going to move on to election of mayor and vice mayor, and I will. I'm open to nominations for mayor, I guess, for the 2019 to 2020 term.
Seconded.
No, I'm asking for nominations. Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to nominate Susan Warner, mayor.
And I would decline.
I would.
Joe, well, I saw Joe first.
Okay. We're just taking nominations right now,
right.
I guess.
Well, if Susan is nominated, she can't decline?
I guess, yeah. Well, it happened before. I have to think about it.
Oh. Let me know when that part of the process. Happy to oblige.
I guess that makes sense that we wouldn't put you. Okay.
Joe was next, so.
Yeah, I can nominate Cal for another year if he's willing.
I'm willing to put my name. Any other nominations? No.
I second that.
No other nominations? I hear the train are coming.
It's coming down the track.
If there are no other nominations, I guess I close nominations, right?
Yeah, I guess so. And then we would move on to the vice mayor.
Okay, so we're going to close nominations for mayor. I'd be happy to entertain additional nominations for vice mayor. Brittany.
I'd like to nominate Mike Taylor for vice mayor.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. What? What did I do wrong?
We didn't do anything wrong. I think we just needed to.
Figured I'd throw it out there.
How about you?
Do you do them separately?
We do them separately?
I had a different way that I was going to do it, but that sign printed out here.
If you think we should just take care of the mayor position first and then go on to vice mayor, we can do that.
No, it looks like since there was never a motion made that we don't have to take a vote, that it's like we didn't follow the process that I had written down. So.
Oh, should we go back and redo it? Because Joe did second me for mayor, so was that?
Yeah. It doesn't say anywhere in the ordinance. It just says that we have to elect a mayor and a vice mayor, but there's no process for it.
There's no process for it. Okay, we can.
I kind of made this up.
Well, why don't we just close the mayor and then
go on to vice mayor?
Let's do it that way.
So I don't think there's any other nominations for mayor. Nominations have been closed. Unanimous consent for me being mayor. Okay, everybody's on their hands, including me. So we've taken care of
that. That's very important.
We've taken care of that part. Is that okay?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, we never did a motion, so.
Okay. Now we're to vice mayor. Can I get a nomination?
I have a nomination. I appreciate Brittany's confidence in me, but since I've served as mayor and so forth, I would like to see younger people getting the experience and getting new experiences, people that haven't done this. So I nominate Brittany for vice mayor, and look forward to her her contributions in the support of the council.
I'll second that. So it's been moved and seconded to nominate Brittany Willis.
I am willing.
She says it's exciting.
Any other nominations for vice mayor? No other nominations for vice mayor? Okay. I guess nominations are closed. Can I ask for unanimous consent to elect Brittany as vice mayor?
Yep.
Okay, looks like everybody's on board with that. So unanimous consent for Brittany as vice mayor. Okay.
I think you already have
one of these.
So that's
from the community.
No.
Yeah, I might want to share that with you.
What is it?
It's just a little primer for mayors.
Oh.
So you're up to city council report.
Yeah. Okay, we're done with the elections and swearing in the election of mayor and vice mayor. We're on to city council reports. Is there any city council reports? City council members. And that includes our new members, if they wish to say something. Oh, go ahead.
I have something I want to share, but I don't know if it's.
That would
when the best time is to do it has to do with this ongoing argument about the population of the state.
Okay, we'll do that on the next one. City Council questions and comments. This is like reports for like if we want to report on.
You got a project you're doing.
Project or something that's going on. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I posted my report for attending Southeast Conference, which was really inspiring to be around a bunch of the other town managers and municipal officials and hear about all sorts of good things that people are doing around Southeast and to also get the latest word on the ferries. And one thing that I didn't include in that report was I saw a very interesting presentation from a group that's a nonprofit spinoff from Sea Alaska Heritage Company Corporation that is called SpruceRoot.org, and they are dedicated to helping entrepreneurs and organizations form successful businesses in Southeast. And so I forwarded that, including lots of resources for helping people develop business plans. So I forwarded that recommendation to Brittany and to the Children's Committee group. It might be just a really crack spot-on resource for them helping to develop a business plan. So just wanted to add that in.
Any other reports? Okay, now we're on to City Council questions and comments. Joe, yours.
Well, I know there's been a lot of division over this population thing, and I thought who better to know Gustavus than one of us, and so I kind of made it a hobby to do my own survey, working with Don Duke and Marty down there. On the advice that we have 614 active meters in this town, and I eliminated them one by one. I had 163 meters that are commercial, 238 of which I counted as dwellings that are less than, where people stay here less than 6 months. I don't know how these other agencies come up, how they do their tally. But I figured if you're here more than 6 months, then you're a permanent resident. And after I eliminated those, I came up with the rest of the 217 meters. But if the tally I've got so far is 467 people. It's kind of an ongoing thing. There's still a few phone calls to make, but it's going to come in around 470, 475.
Active meters?
No. People. People that are here now that are, well, that are here for more than the 180 days.
So you figured how many people per meter?
Oh, it varies with every household. I know one of those, let's call them, one of them said there was 480-some households. Well, that's not the case. There's probably 480-some buildings that could hold households. But a lot of money. So I was just eliminating them one by one, counting the households where we have people that live here longer than 6 months in a year, and finding out how many live there. Anyway.
I have a comment. I inquired down at the post office as to how many people they thought were here, and they said that their count was about 402.
I think these are both really interesting in that they add to our understanding of different ways of looking at who's here and for how long, and it just demonstrates something that those of us who trained in the sciences know that whenever you try to measure something, you get it. There's no exact answer. It's an artifact of how you measure it. And the more ways you look at things, the more you have a broader picture that characterizes the community. And it'll be interesting, of course, to see what the U.S. Census Bureau says as they do the official population count using their methods. And we'll get a different number. But then there's even something I've been thinking about is know, we tend not to think in turn, or, you know, tend to discount the summer people here. People are just here for the summer, working for a firm here, and they're here for 3 months and they leave. Yeah, most of us would not. Most of them are officially residents of other places, but they still draw on city services during those periods of time. So there's a different sort of population depending on what we're you know, how we're looking at it, and all these methods I think add to an understanding of who are who the public is that we serve. So thanks for your two additions.
That is a big question. I don't know who's going to decide who we count and for how long.
Yeah, I think there's the important point is there's no answer.
Point of order, we need to address the mayor before speaking.
Yeah. I was just saying there's no one answer, but as you look at it from different ways, you can understand better who the public is here, whether they are officially a resident or not, or they are here part of the time or full time. Those are all variations that it's important to understand.
Susan.
Yeah, I just there's been a lot of people asking questions about, you know, just exactly what the population is, and so today I took down to the library and asked them to post the one that Jake did that shows since the, you know, the census returns, and then this one from the Southeast Conference, Southeast Alaska Statistics, Southeast Alaska by the Numbers Statistics, and they use the Department of Labor. And so their number for 2018 for Gustavus was 554. So it's gonna vary depending on what you're trying to ascertain, and it's been really difficult to figure out how many registered voters we have, even just asking that question, you know. So I think we just have to keep all of this in context as we're trying to figure out the problem at hand that we're trying to solve, you know. So thank you.
Any other comments? I would like to make a comment on the subject as well. You know, I like Mike said, you can measure anything any number of different ways. Depends on the yardstick that you're using to measure it. And as far as I'm concerned, the census and the Department of Community and Economic Development have the scientific yardsticks to measure populations. They've proven it year after year after year, to the point where the federal government distributes funds based on the census returns, the state government distributes funds based on the census and these DCED numbers. If it's good enough to spread money around the state and the country, then as far as I'm concerned, they're good enough for us for management purpose for what we have to do. And the important thing to remember is not so much the actual number, but the slope of that line.
Mm-hmm.
In science, you look at the slope of the line. It doesn't really matter what the numbers say for the most part. It's the slope of the line. You see down here, the slope is kind of flat. Here, the slope kind of takes up, and that's even before the ferry in 2010. And then it flattens out a little bit, and then you see again, the slope of the line is going up. Now, granted, the last couple of years it's been flat, but you got to look at the slope, what's happening with the trend, the long-term trend over time. That's the important thing, and that's what we need to keep in mind for managing city services and trying to provide services for the people who live here and the people who visit here, because we do have responsibility there too. Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth. Anything else? Okay, public comment on non-agenda items? Nope, we stand adjourned for this special meeting. Stay tuned for our regular work session for our next regular meeting next week. So we're going to stand down for 10 minutes until 5:30, where we'll
hand these up.
Come up for, yes, please.
It's a cover, and I'm not sure why it's buckled like that.
Are we all sorted out?
Yeah, I think we are. I think this is my copy here, right?
So the only reports that we're going to go over is
Treasurer,
numbers may change for the general meeting, but that might be the same.
Okay.
And then the
yes, the old one.
Travis.
I thought we were supposed to, don't we have a new one?
Yeah.
Reference.
Do you want me to...
Oh, do you have the new one either?
This is the
no, this
one.
Is the old one.
Do you want me to provide the
this is what we're repealing.
Yeah.
This goes way back.
Yeah, I was wondering why the Gustavus Community Network was...
right, yeah.
GPS.
But I think all she printed out was the old one.
Yep.
Yeah, we need the new one.
The new one.
The what?
The new procedure. There's a new policy and procedure referenced as attachment A in the resolution.
That's what Tom put in my folder to print.
No, this is not the new one. This is
no, that's the old one.
Okay, this is the one we're deleting.
No, neither is there.
Welcome. I'm kind of a numbers geek. So, what was the number of total meters?
6.4. Can I have a nice picture of those
numbers? Yes. I like that.
That was good. I'm not going to be here right now.
The number that you're trying to find.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I'd love to know what percentage of our registered voters voted. But I can't get access to that as a number because the registered voter rolls are like 540. I mean, it's like really huge. So it has been parsed down to make that determination. And some things we're going to want to know how many people are going to be around.
Like,
how am
I going to get
to know about the entire as a summer person for decades, you know, before I came to full-time members. You know? Decades.
I did tell
all that snow on your roof? Burned it all. Yeah. Helping to understand the budget and the numbers, and I'm sure she's going to take time to do that and try to figure out how that process is going. Yeah, she's the treasurer. She's in here right now.
Isn't it okay?
She's great. And very patient.
Yeah. Unlike me.
I'm not stepping anywhere near
that.
Okay, you're in charge of Vice now.
Yeah, I am.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well,
I
see. At least we can use it for 5% fun.
Oh, I.
Right, yeah.
Thanks, Al, for being mayor again.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being vice mayor.
Talking about what I remember.
Great.
Yep, there you go.
There you go.
So you'll be leading our delegation on AML.
All right.
That's right. Got to get new business cards.
I guess so.
Okay.
The last municipal league. We'd like you two to go if that's possible.
When are you leaving?
You send it off. I think the guy's
When's your surgery scheduled? Or it could be less. She could bounce back. Oh, yeah. Just waiting for that.
See my return date on Medicare? I put my return date on there.
Generic data forecast data.
I bet you if you look at sick, it's a time.
You're
35.
And I can send you.
Taking your name out of here. Yeah. Done.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. You know what? I forgot my phone.
How come Cheryl's not here tonight?
I forgot my phone. I had my calendar on. I was going to put my I read an article on tuna today. Fisheries Research Bulletin article on tuna.
Does Brittany really want to know about this right now?
No. Enjoy your...
Actually, how are you eating tuna when we have, like, salmon?
Because I got home, and...
Are you dipping into the cat food?
It got crazy.
Is that what you feed your cat, tuna?
No. Sometimes
it's
just like
start over. Well, I think that was scary. The article was scary.
Actually, would like to read that though, Cal.
Virtually every population of tuna in the world now is being overexploited. 30 years ago, they were pretty much the fleets were just concentrated around three areas, and now they're virtually everywhere in the ocean. And they're even going to species like skipjack. Over 50% of the harvest now is skipjack.
It's a kind of tuna.
Yeah.
Bluefins are virtually extinct.
Yeah, they're down to like 5% or so of their original population. The big demand is Japan.
Mr.
Sushi.
Mayor.
It's great stuff.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm a slow thinker, and I'm going back to public comment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
sure.
It takes me a minute to figure it out. As to do with the count, population count, in the short time I've been coming to meet, I've noticed that, or at least the impression I have, is that whenever population is brought up, the topic is a little bit wishy-washy on which count we're using, or you're using. So I would suggest, because there's five or six different types of counts, that whenever you offer a topic up that has to do with population counts, that you be very specific on which count you're using.
Reference
okay?
the
for source. Your future reference. I think that might get rid of some of the confusion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're in our work session right now. It's generally just for. Oh, go ahead. You were going to do this part. Go ahead.
Okay. So the work I was just going to give a little background on what the work sessions are, the purpose of the regular work session before the general meeting for the new council members. It's mostly about, I'll have what you have there in front of you is the draft agenda, and these are things that may or may not go on the general meeting agenda. Some of these things we'll need to address, some of them we won't. But for example, like the minutes that need to be approved at the general meeting, maybe you have corrections to the minutes that you did not already give me. Usually I'll provide you with minutes that are pending right after the meeting, like the next day or within a day or two of the meeting, and hopefully you would read those and get your comments to me right away so that we have them corrected before they go to the general meeting. So it's kind of a copy of what the general meeting would look like. Maybe, maybe not. Some things we'll need to talk about. Some things will get pulled off the agenda. Maybe we'll add things to the general meeting agenda. Work sessions are a little more casual. We don't follow Robert's rules, really, at work sessions, although we want to respect everybody, all the other council members, and give everybody a chance to speak. This is for you guys, the council, to work through what you need to work through. There's not usually public participation unless it's planned in advance. And then at the end of the packet, there's ongoing topics and projects spreadsheet that has things that different council members are working on or things that maybe I'll need to connect with you guys about that we usually wrap up the meeting with. And then there was something in, I made you guys a manual. It's the first time we've had something like that here for new council members. So each year it'll get bigger and better, I'm sure. But one thing that is not in that manual is some attendance stuff because we found them in a couple different places in ordinance. And so I'll pass that on to you guys via email or I can make printed copies. But you can only have 5 unexcused absences in a calendar year, not limited to work sessions, regular meetings, and special meetings. Meaning if you miss more than 5 meetings in a year, you would be automatically off the council. Your seat would be declared vacant.
No matter what kind of meeting?
Yeah.
But you can't call in.
You can call into meetings. And there's a participation thing in the ordinance as well that says no more than the first 2 members that contact the clerk can call into a meeting. So you couldn't have, like, 3 or 4 members calling into the same meeting. And no member may participate telephonically at more than 3 general meetings in a 12-month period. So you could only... And that's October to October, the election year. So you could only call into 3 meetings the whole year, it says here. And anyway, so I have, there's 3 different places in ordinance, and I'll pass them on to you, but I just wanted to make sure that from the get-go that everybody knows that there's an attendance policy, and I will make copies of this and pass it on to you via email as well. Get your email set up.
And I wanted to say, too, those are unexcused absences, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's I mean, if you have...
So it would be for extenuating medical circumstances.
Correct.
Or you're on city business. Those are the only 2 really excuses.
You confirm whether special meetings are included in that?
Title section 2.20.100, if unexcused from any 5 meetings in a calendar year, including but not limited to work sessions, regular meetings, and special meetings.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was something new that I had discovered.
What is an excuse if you miss unexcused? I have family members that are basically close to death, 4 of them, and if I have to leave, I'm going to leave.
Sure.
But, you know, if I miss
so
too much.
Medical is an excuse.
Pardon?
Medical is an excuse.
Okay, that's family medical.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Well, let's dig right in then. See, the first one I think we wanted to talk about was under committee staff reports, number D. I think, Travis,
well,
you wanted to adjust
things, work session things and not necessarily...
Right, work session things, right.
So, first thing, the HMP plan, thanks to Cal, that's a hazard mitigation plan for the new people that are in. Thanks to Cal writing a letter to the company as the mayor. He's back on track a little bit. We've had a long delay of no response from the company. So they've written us a plan that they say is 90% complete, and they wanted me to read it and have it all back to them within a day and a half of them giving it to me after 9 months of no contact from them. So I haven't contacted them yet. We have Mike's been working with me from it, the beginning, along with Ben Sadler. And Mike's been reading over it and vetting a bunch of it. We found lots of mistakes, and a lot of it's targeted to Tennessee Springs. I think we just forgot to pull all the Tennessee stuff out and put guest days in. There's a bunch of terrible stuff in it, so we're going to send it back to them and they start over more or less, but we're going to give them all of the notes that we've taken going through this horribly written plan that they put us. But it's back on track, so that's part of it. Thanks to Cal writing that letter for us. So that's a start there. Also, last year in November, I went to the council and asked, it was shortly, well, a few months after anyways, and asked if we wanted a tsunami siren to get for the community, and you guys said yes, and State Homeland Security put it in the NOAA federal budget, and we got approved for that this year. We have 1 year to complete the project. It's a little to no cost to us project. The only thing that they really asked is if we could supply a telephone pole and have that put into the ground as a place to put it. So we have a tsunami siren that is in a budgeted thing for this year to be put up. There's no real catches to it except a telephone pole, realistically, that I'm aware of. Every community in Southeast basically has them. We're one of the few that don't. We did this in 2014, I believe, and got awarded it, and we gave it up for a few different reasons. We decided we didn't want it and gave it to Skagway. So we have it again, and we have to get some council resolution type thing eventually. I'll draft something that I hope get that drafted up that says we're in support of it still. As long as you guys are still in support of that project, I'll continue in it and get that stuff coming out of this week. So,
thank you.
All I have for that. What do you want to report on?
Okay.
Okay.
And then you said that we have something from Treasurer's report that we can talk about?
She gave me her financials.
Okay.
They may or may not be the same next week.
Okay.
But if you guys want to look up, oh no, it froze.
You ran a test on it earlier in the week to see if it would freeze up on it.
No.
And it works fine.
Of course.
It works fine.
Okay, well, the financials...
it's in the packet.
It's in the packet, mm-hmm. So we...
There we go.
This is for the full last fiscal year?
Yep.
Not for this year?
Can I make a comment?
Oh, hold on.
Okay.
Okay, I thought you were trying to get my...
I just double-checked with Phoebe today, but one of the interesting things about this first two pages is the relatively final actuals for FY19 for last fiscal year. And when we look at the actuals, the payroll expenses in relation to the total tax income was 85%, which was well under that 100% that people interested in the community in that budget petition were asking for as a cap, 100, so it was 85, actually. And in our actuals, the payroll expenses in relation to the total general fund or general budget was 47%, which was underneath the 50% cap that was a proposed amendment. So next week, when folks are here for the general meeting, we can tell them that, you know, we've done well. We're under what the caps that people were asking for were, so that's great.
Any other discussion about the financials? Okay. Tom, you're next.
Frozen.
Only if it likes you.
Apparently not.
No, we're definitely jinxed. We thought we had it figured out, but no, that ain't happening. I'll just bring it up.
Yeah.
So,
this is the thing that begins with library roof on page 14, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Since it was DOT's requirement,
for us to move it in the first place, then the need to have the lease over at Pleasant Island really was theirs. So in talking through it, DOT agreed that if we applied for a conveyance of the tight land to put the steel float, then we would not have the rent, and we would not have the requirement for the surety bond. In addition, that they would cover the unauthorized use fee with DNR. So I need to know if the council is interested in us filling out the paperwork for the conveyance to get the title. All it really means is we get to use the land. We can't sell it or do anything else with that title area.
And that costs how much?
Zero.
Go ahead. No. This is we're in a work session now, so it's more informal.
What are all the strings attached to the float? Is that going to be Gustavus's float? Are we responsible for maintenance and inspection of the mooring anchors?
It's currently on float. The dollar hook is moving it back and forth to Pleasant Island. That's going to be an extensive process. Because we have to get a vessel over here large enough to be able to move it over there. So that's an expense that we would have to incur.
Has to be a state vessel or somebody to contract.
No, it would be a contracted vessel, right.
The landing craft down there is probably sufficient. I don't know of anything else around that would be.
Right, that's a good option. Otherwise, we'd have to go to Luna or Juno. Further away we go, the more it's going to cost us. Hopefully, we can find something local.
And what about the anchoring over there?
It already has an anchor because it's already more there.
I've got four, but you hire a diver once a year to
inspect them. All that maintenance would be on us if we wanted to do that. DNR was going to require that we have the title survey, that we use DNR-approved anchoring, which would be four anchors so deep. And then to argue whether or not the float would be worth all that expense. I threw that at him in our discussion, saying, well, you know, for all this cost, you know, what's the purpose of the city? Using the steel float that you guys are requiring us to use. It's part of the ferry dock renovation project, so they were really wanting us to utilize that steel float. And they did. They came around and said that with the conveyance, we'd be off the hook for those costs, and we would be able to use that tideland area, no charge.
Are they driving a new piling for it?
They're not going to do anything. They're not suggesting we have to do anything.
I think he's... There's going to be a bunch of new piling driven out there on the state dock.
He's talking about the mooring. He's talking about the mooring, right?
No, I'm talking about where it was attached before.
Or where it was attached before.
That's part of it.
We used to have the designs up, but what they're going to use that steel dock for is they're going to replace that first section of wooden floats that we've had that we've got the skiff floats pulled up on, you know, where you pull your skiffs on. They're going to use that steel part. They got to modify it, but they're going to use that steel part to use for the ramps to pull up your skiff floats. So the skiff floats are going to be in part attached to that steel thing. And there's going to be a bunch of tri-driven pilings, and we used to have the plans up here.
The pilings are using our new design from DNR. This will be the first time they've been deployed. Hopefully we'll get a copy of what those pilings are going to look like. They are removing four or five large steel sheets that they had out there that was part of the breakwater. And hopefully they'll get those out in March. It's one of the first projects, and we're going to keep those stored over at the Salmon River Small Boat Harbor until we figure out what we want to do with them. But we didn't want to just let them go to another project, another state project.
We won't own those.
Yeah. The steel piles?
Yeah.
Sheets? Yes, we do own those.
I think this, you know, getting this subtitle land over there is, especially for free, is a good deal. When, normally when they convey property to us, we have to pay for it because we've used up all of our initial allotment of land for becoming a city. So this is a good deal, and thanks for, you know, working that out with them. It's a great solution. We don't have these ongoing fees. But, of course, we do have to take responsibility for it over there. It's our baby over there. We can do it.
So I just got the conveyance package this afternoon. So, fine. I'm reading everybody correctly. We want to go ahead and fill that out and give the conveyance.
I think so.
This is Mr. Burrow.
Mm-hmm. It would be nice if we could use somebody locally to do that. That would be ideal.
For sure.
Well, I'm sure as we put out the request for quotes, local's going to be cheaper than transiting. We have procurement procedures we have to follow, but, yeah. Pulling for local as well.
Okay.
Next page, please. Yep. I'll try to get through that one before we go.
Can I just ask one question? Okay, I'm not up to speed on this. Now, why aren't we building a dock that we don't have to pay to move every 6 months?
So,
how many millions of dollars are we going to spend on a safe harbor?
Okay.
Yeah, we own it. It's free. They want to use it in their design.
Well, yeah, I meant except for we're going to have to pay to move the floats back. Have we been doing that already? I mean,
we moved the wooden floats back and forth
into the river,
but not across the way. But
okay.
It's a 100-foot long steel dock. It can't go up the river.
Uh-huh.
So it's got to go out there.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
200.
Oh, 200. Okay, sorry.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so the other action item I had on here for direction was doing business in Gustavus. This is the item that was brought up back in November. So for our new members, this item has to do with people who are operating in the city as a business but don't have a business license and therefore don't pay sales tax. Title IV has requirements for getting a business license to pay sales tax. We have some options that we can do for gaining compliance to Title IV. Those are listed right above the yellow highlighting there. We have a proposed amendment to Title IV.15 sales tax that previous council member, Jake Olson, had provided. If we want to do an edit to Title IV, there are some options there on how we can proceed. We can do a work session. We can direct staff to provide a proposal. We can look at options for gaining compliance with Title IV. We can do nothing or we can do something else. As you may remember in our earlier discussions, our language that exists now is pretty narrow, like for retail sale, pretty much encompasses everything. Some of Jake's edits address exemptions. They focus on the exemption side of it, which make a lot of sense. Things that we talked about, like lemonade stands, the Saturday market, garage sales, although they would fit within that definition, retail sale that's in the code, clearly I don't think that would be the intent of retail sale. So the edits that Jake proposed identify those exemptions. And, of course, the implications of not participating and complying with Title IV, you know, it's competition advantages, loss of revenues. So how would the council like to proceed?
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Under the exemptions, is the yellow highlighted? Is that the new language?
In the, I think she's talking about the work session packet that came from
page
18.
If it's colored, it should be, I want to say it was green. It's under exemptions. Then there's a couple of highlighted areas that, yeah, I think the others were green.
It's not letting me. I'm going to have to disconnect.
I don't see any green.
Is it?
You see red?
Yeah, there's red. It's
okay.
There's some red edits, and then there's some highlighted sections in section 4.15.040 exemptions that are highlighted. Maybe Jake can explain.
Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I think just to follow up on what Tom said, the specifically the exemption section. I gathered a bunch of ideas from different cities and states' ordinances or their regulation package and just put a bunch there. So my idea at that point wasn't that we take them all on, but that's kind of the range of things you might want to discuss.
So that's what the yellow
highlight
was.
Yep, it's a bullet point of ideas. Right now, I think there's none, and I think that maybe the top couple seem like maybe the easiest fit, and after that, it depends on how precise you want to be.
Okay, so if you make more than $3,000 a year, you have to have a sales, a business license? Is that the way I'm reading that? On page 17? Under exemptions?
Right. Isolated. It says that casual and isolated sales, you know, under or not exceeding $3,000.
I mean, that's really low.
That's in your edits, right?
So, for instance, you know, it exempts, is that the area where it exempts cottage industry stuff, yeah, homemade baked goods and all that kind of stuff? Like, DEC's certification on exemptions for your kitchen are like $25,000 a year. So it seems like $3,000 is a really small number for then dictating that somebody has to have a business license.
That's a really good point, and I think we're getting ahead of ourselves because what Tom is asking for is how we want to proceed to fix this. Do we want to have a special work session for all of it, kind of like a committee of a whole to work on this, or do we want to just get some volunteers from the council to work with staff to work up a first draft for us to take a look at? So I guess that's kind of where we're at on this. Yeah, there's a bunch of, I read through it too, and I'm not comfortable with a bunch of stuff in there either, but I think, you know, we just need to work through it all under some process. I'm not so sure that a committee of the whole on the first round is going to be such a great idea, but I'm willing to go that way if the council wants to go that way, but I kind of prefer to put together a small work party just to get us a, kind of like we did with the last time we did that work.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, and if a former council member Olson is willing to participate in that committee, I'd be delighted to see him continue to have input.
Go ahead, Joe.
I'm just curious, how do you go about determining who's making what in a business so that you can pursue it for some individual?
There's some techniques you can use. You can get a hold of the state and see who's filed with the state that isn't filed with the city. There's also observation. In our quote, currently, bartering would be considered doing business. There's no threshold for the amount of money you make, so any transaction would be considered part of Title IV. So if, take a hypothetical situation, John Smith is selling cars, and does not have a business license in Gustavus. People say, hey, I know John Smith is selling cars. I bought one from him. We could check with the state. All the business licenses are online. You could look to see if Mr. Smith has a business license registered with the state. If so, I believe that also tells where the business is located, and then you could notify Mr. Smith that if he does come in compliance, legal action may be taken.
Seems like anybody who would avoid a business license here would also avoid one with the state. Just work under the table.
Possibly. The IRS is a interesting organization. They know a lot of what's going on from the federal level if you're participating in contracts or other business outside of the city or even the state. So if somebody has a contract to provide goods or materials to someplace outside of the state and doesn't register with the state, the IRS is another source that you can go to see whether or not they have a registered business. So Mr. Smith, for example, doesn't have a license with the state, but we know that Mr. Smith is selling cars to people in Washington, and most likely they're going to have a federal ID number or pay federal tax. We can check with them.
We don't have anything on that scale here.
No, I wouldn't think so.
How much do the business license fees vary from business to business?
A business license is a flat fee.
It's $25.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, no.
$25.
$25.
Right.
So that's the money that we're after.
And the 3% of the sales. For sales.
Yeah, sales. 3%.
Right.
Collecting sales tax.
And it isn't so much just the 3%, but it's also the competitive advantage. Mr. Smith isn't paying for it. Mr. Jones is paying. It's not fair to Mr. Jones that Mr. Smith has this financial advantage. That 3% is a saving that Mr. Jones doesn't get to enjoy. So it's not only money not coming to the city, but it's also having a fair playing field for the rest of the businesses in his favor.
Go ahead. I think these are details that we'll have to have a good discussion on, and decisions around these things are essentially political, you know, judgment that the council has to make, and I think having a committee go through it and give us recommendations first and then bring it to the council for further discussion is a good plan.
Can I get, I heard a couple volunteers, I thought, I heard, Mike, you made me volunteer. But I okay, Shelly, and I can help with that too.
I mean, that's part.
And then Brittany, okay. Does that give you enough? Shelly, Brittany?
Great.
Okay.
Shelly, Brittany, Mike.
No, me. No, Mike. Well,
yeah, I don't think I need to be on it. But can we?
I think if Jake is willing to kind of help us, we would.
Yeah,
I would appreciate
it. It doesn't have to be only council members.
So.
I heard a yes back there, so yeah, I'll do it.
That's how it's going to be now,
right? Yeah. Is this something where, like, forming a formal committee on them, or is this just a...
No.
Committee. Okay.
This is kind of like a...
A work group.
Yeah, the mayor could do it administratively, I think.
Staff is going to be responsible for doing this. We're just going to help them.
Okay.
And that's all I had on my report.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. We're going down the list here. We'll have two ordinances for public hearing next week. I don't know if we want to discuss those a little bit, but basically the first one there, the 07 NCO, was basically closing out the books this year. Moving some money. Oh wait, no. This is where we got the owl funding back and the pilt money, extra pilt money. I'm sorry.
No.
No.
The extra pilts and what?
07 NCO.
Yes.
So it's moving the prior. It's moving the payment in lieu of tax and stuff
right,
into the
right,
account.
Right,
and
the yep. pilt stuff and the owl stuff.
And she also shows, yeah, and you're right, the owl stuff.
So this
yeah.
one, the 07 NCO is, we got a little more pilt than we thought we were going to get for this budget.
Because of Phoebe.
Yes. She's checked up to see what the heck was this going on.
And she checked their calculations.
And she checked their calculations, and they made a huge error.
$44,000
worth of an error.
Go Phoebe.
I kind of feel sorry for Tenneke because
that's
the one who
got the money.
And then also there's some money to put the owl funding back
right.
because the owl funding was initially cut, but then it was put back. So so that's what that NCO is about, is putting this extra pill, putting the owl money in.
So there is one item in there about dealing with the prior year cash balance. And Phoebe had an idea of, because there is, you know, this prior year balance forward of $100,000 and we're doing okay on the 2020 budget, instead of rolling it in, putting it into the AMLIP account so that it can generate some revenue. Until we get to the end of the fiscal year. So she's got an idea about something
right.
else. I don't know how it fits with this
particular... We'll have to do something in addition for that. So
okay.
she'll work on that, and that will come to us at some point, I would
okay.
imagine.
Okay.
It looks to me like what she did was we're using some prior year cash balance, if I understand right,
mm-hmm.
In our budget. And with this extra money coming in, what she has done is reduce what we're drawing out of prior year cash balance
mm-hmm.
and use this instead, this
mm-hmm.
new money instead,
mm-hmm.
which means that prior year cash balance goes into savings for use in the future
right.
Public works projects or capital projects or whatever.
So we'll have to do a separate thing to put
okay.
that money in AMLIP,
yeah.
and I'm sure she'll get that to us if she chooses to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the next NCO there is, I think we're putting some capital project money back that
mm-hmm.
we didn't need. Any other one? Okay, and then we're on to new business. We're going to have an RFQ for the inflow storage area for the DRC. We'll have a motion to approve the RFQ there. Did you want to say anything about that, Paul, at this meeting?
I can give you I'm assuming you all have a packet and it has a diagram, but that really does the best job of illustrating what I'm talking about. You can see where the main building is, and you can see where the Harbor Road is, and the area to be developed is yellow. It's kind of in the back pages of the RFQ.
Page number
41
of 83.
Yeah, the RFQ is page 12. I don't know in your packets what it is.
Yeah, in the packet, the number's on the top right, and that's 41 of 83.
And Madam Clerk, I'd like to be the one who moves. I'd like to move on that one. Can you put me down? I think Paul's done a great job on this and something we've needed to get done for a long time.
Yeah, this has been on something I've tried to do, I think, for at least 6 years. And it's grown a little bit in terms of the area. But, and it's... So they would move there's that storage van that's currently there. They would move that out. They would remove trees. And when you go by the boat harbor, you can look at the stakes. I've put up some pink flag, and it's been there about a year. That kind of gives the corners. It basically starts where the fence starts as you move from the intersection where the chapel and Boat Harbor Road is. Where the fence starts there, you can see some flagging, and then it parallels the fence.
And so, and then there's more flagging at the far end of that, so you can kind of see what that area is when you're going down the road. It would remove the trees in that area. It would bring in rock from Chris Hart's rock pile, and then it would bring in a pit run to bring it up to grade, and then that would be compacted. There would be some ballards put in to protect the user base and transformer, and then they would return the 20-foot van to its new location. And then further on, when we get the hazardous waste facility, that would be situated on the same property. And if the funding allows, separate from the RFQ, we would put in some fencing around the larger portion of it. But for this project is just basically the removal of trees, bringing in rock, bringing in dirt, compacting, and moving the vans in and out. That's basically what this project is about.
Go ahead.
And for the benefit of our new gentleman, I have been having the hardest time trying to understand the capital approval process, the capital expenditure approval process, because it comes in many, many steps. So I had to ask Phoebe today, okay, what are we doing today? And you can see on page 11 of 83 in your packet that the $62,000 to pay for this has already been approved. And you can see on page 12 that it was the date that it was approved. And that so what we're talking about doing next Monday night is issuing the RFQ for something that's already been funded. So just giving you a heads up of the stuff that Phoebe gives us on the budget is really helpful for trying to understand where we are in the process and just exactly what we're trying to get done tonight. So,
hope you don't mind a stupid question now and then. The RFQ stands for?
Request for quotation.
Thank you.
No stupid questions.
And actually, you'll sometimes see IFB, which is an invitation to bid, and that is usually used for larger projects, and it's a more extensive bid packet. But we used IFBs, for example, on the bridge projects along Mountain View and so forth. So RFQ usually works for smaller projects.
And one more comment for Paul. For the future, I'm really wanting to see that DRC master plan for approving large sums of money to go that way. Just saying.
Yeah, no, Tom and I have been working on that.
Excellent.
I think you'll be very excited to see what my wish list.
I'm sure I will be very excited to see the parsing of your brain onto the page. Yep.
That's right. It's my last draw.
Thank you. Okay. Are we done with the RFQ? Okay. Next is our action. Well, this is an action item. We'll be discussing this. A resolution basically for revising our policies and procedures for advisory committees. So
that's the printed copies.
That's the printed copies that we passed out, I think. What's the first thing that I saw was the new one, the new version, and then also passed out was the old version of what we have on the books now. So we're talking about repealing the old stuff and taking a new approach. So comments, questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, should we have something in here in the policy reminding the committees that they're subject to the Open Meetings Act requirements?
Mm-hmm.
Could add a sentence there, yeah. Something on policy for...
Have a full parliamentary procedure between the open meetings,
Right. Maybe there are other things like that too, but meeting the requirement that they are an advisory committee
under
the state statute requirements for open meetings under the Open Meetings Act. So that they have to post their meetings in advance, 5 days, and maybe there may be some other things that like that, like posting requirements we might want to include. They have to have a quorum
They are public meetings, of course.
Okay. I've got a bunch of notes. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Do they know what page that's on?
Well, no, they're not. They were handed out separate, brand new.
Yeah, we missed it in the package.
Yeah, we missed it in the package. There's the old version, which looks like this. It's four pages. It's got a bunch of signatures on it, two tables in the back. And then we're replacing with this new version, which is a shorter version.
Is there a short version of what we're trying to change?
Yeah, that was passed out first.
That was, this is the old version, and we're going to...
2011 resolution, 2011-07, and the attached plan at that time, that's what they've been working on before, so we're eliminating that.
We're eliminating this, and we're going with this new version.
Replacing it. It gets rid of a requirement for a plan and so forth, a work plan that we didn't think was any longer needed.
So it makes it less work for an advisory committee?
Yeah, it eliminates some baggage for them that when the advisory committees were originally done, you probably recall they actually ran our functions because we didn't have staff for a lot of things. And we used instead of having departments, we really had committees. And it was kind of an awkward arrangement, but that's over the years has gone away. And we now have a different management structure, of course, beginning with the mayor through the city administrator to the departments. And the advisory committees now are strictly advisory. They don't operate a function like they used to. They advise the council with regard to a function. Okay.
And
I don't know if that's helpful.
Committees are created by resolution, and their charge would be in that resolution. Makes it a lot easier.
Maybe. There's a couple of typos. Is this a good time to?
Yeah.
all in the subject or the title of resolution.
Resolution.
Mm-hmm. Resolution.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. A resolution.
In the agenda.
In the agenda.
Oh, in the agenda.
Oh, in the agenda.
Yeah, in the agenda.
And in the resolution itself.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
And then under the fourth whereas, second line, principle. We could check with the dictionary, but I believe that should be spelled T-L-E-S rather than TAL.
Definitely, yes.
I'm opening up the Word document. Sorry. So the second whereas?
Fourth whereas, second
fourth
line.
Second line. Oh, yeah.
And I'm assuming the policies and procedures will at some point be labeled Exhibit A when it's attached to the resolution.
In the footer?
In the second now, therefore, it refers to the policies and procedures as Exhibit A.
You could just refer to the attached policy and
attached
procedure,
policies and procedures.
And then you get rid of the need for that.
Exhibit A. Yeah, just get rid of it, which includes.
I like doubling up on that.
Okay, we got that.
Okay.
Anything else?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
We can disregard this. Is that correct? That's the old?
That's the old,
okay.
Yeah. That's just for comparison.
Is this a done deal yet?
No, that's what we're working on now. We're trying to fix, make that.
And I have a question. We vote on, the council votes on the findings of advisory committees. Is that correct?
will action?
So the advisory committee will provide a recommendation, for example, or suggest actions to be taken, and then the council will determine whether or not to execute those or adopt those by voting.
Mm-hmm.
By voting. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess since you haven't had a chance to review these, if you have any amendments between, you know, after tonight and the general meeting that you're thinking of.
Is the general meeting this Thursday?
Next Monday.
Okay. The general meeting.
This is the last meeting for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the general meetings are at 7 o'clock on Mondays. And then the second Monday, and the work sessions are at 5:30 the Monday before. So I'll get the packets out on Wednesday. And but if you have any amendments or anything, like, because you haven't had a chance to look at this between now and you know, the next few days, it'd be great, because that kind of helps me prepare for things that we know are coming up.
If but, I have anything, I'll get it to you.
Yeah. Can always make amendments at the meetings if you think about things later, but it's nice to kind of have a, helps me out a lot.
Did you tell about the form?
Yeah, I have a form right there, and I'll make sure when we get your computers to you that you have one on your computer as well.
Okay, anything else, any bar corrections or any other edits we want to have staff do to this before we talk about it on Monday?
We send it to us if you come up with something.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, the next. Ooh. Okay, our November general meeting is scheduled for November 11th, which happens to be Veterans Day. And so we need to move that meeting to November 12th,
Tuesday,
which is a Tuesday. So I need a motion for that, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we'll do that motion for the next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
In our meeting.
So does anybody want to volunteer to make that motion?
I move that the meeting.
No. This has got to be done. The motion is going to be made at our Monday meeting.
Oh,
I just want to know who wants to make the motion at the regular meeting. Do you want to make the motion?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's assign Joe for that. That's good.
Yay, Joe.
We generally, if we know about motions that are going to be done, we try to get somebody ahead of time to make the motion so it's in there in our notes. But yeah.
Just for clarity's sake, this is old Joe and I'm young Joe.
Got it.
JoJo at the end of the table.
Yeah, we got to be careful with that.
Well, actually, you guys should refer to each other by your last name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
All of you.
Okay.
Hard to train your brain to do that.
At least in the regular,
myself.
In the official meeting.
Remember to refer to each other by your last name.
Okay.
So, comment.
Go ahead.
In general, the work meetings, we can talk, the public generally can't speak while we're doing our work. We're trying to get the agenda ready for the next meeting, and it's at the general meeting, the second Monday, that we make motions and make decisions. We can't,
public hearing.
Yeah, through the public hearing process. We can't make decisions at the work meetings. We're just trying to get the agenda ready for the general meeting. Okay.
Also on the agenda for that we'll want to talk about, we're going to have an RFQ to denude the city gravel pits. We want to award that. And did you want to talk about that? Mm-hmm. I thought we got a pretty good bid on that. So
we did. So if you're familiar with the gravel pits, between the ponds, there's rows of vegetation. Between the city pond and the adjacent pond, there's a large area of vegetation that we want to remove so that we can expand the city pond. Our pond is running out of reachable gravel, and this will help us extend the life of our gravel pit. In addition, we recently had a survey of the lot which the gravel pit sit on and found that we have a little bit more space that we can expand our pits. So likely what we'll see in the near future is a plan to expand the city pit so that we can get to more gravel than they can get to right now. They're limited by the reach of their tractor. So removing the vegetation will give us an area that we can use to get more gravel, and then the survey will give us more area to expand the size of our gravel pits. I get it all, Mike?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
So that survey is complete?
The preliminary survey is in. It's got to go to DNR and get all the signatures. So we have one from the City Hall boundaries that took place in January. So we're still waiting on that to come from DNR. So I would expect it'll be 8 or 9 months before we actually get the final in.
They
have to send it to us to sign first, and then it'll go back to DNR.
Do they still have to put in one monument at what would be the northwest corner? We didn't find a monument.
Right.
The lines were flagged, but they didn't install a monument.
Right.
And the other corners all had monuments.
Yeah, they'll go through and make sure that. So the preliminary, they've got the corners marked.
That are flagged.
Right, flagged, GPS marked, but they have monuments on three of the corners.
Right.
And the other one they had flagged off, but maybe because of the way the trees were set up there, they felt like they didn't want to cut the monument. They maybe want to cut the trees, or maybe they'll just come back. Maybe they didn't.
They usually come back. But the other monuments were in place before.
Yeah,
they pre-existed. They were from a 1985 survey, I think. So they already existed. It was just that one corner that was not monumented in the past, and so they'll be. Usually, they come back and do those monuments after they've done the survey.
Were all three of those the 85 ones?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As I recall, they were.